Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Mary DeMocker, the author of The Parent's Guide to the Climate Revolution, and just finding ways to get the kids out and really getting the fresh air and enjoying life. Why do we need to change the systems that we have right now, not just the light bulbs?
You know, that is a really important question, because I think we've gotten really distracted by the idea that we should always be recycling or turning down our heat in order to, you know, change the direction that we're going with the climate. The reason that we need to change the system is because we cannot save our kids by just recycling and using cloth bags. All of that focus has become a huge distraction when you really weigh those efforts against today's North American fossil fuel frenzy. We've got, you know, two presidents in North America that are pushing fossil fuels. In Canada, it's the tar sands and the pipelines, and in the U.S., we've got a huge backwards push towards, you know, coal and fracking and all kinds of oil trains and coal and offshore drilling and increasing of the pipelines, like the Dakota Access Pipeline that was so contested by indigenous communities. So we need to look at what we're doing overall and see that we need to stop putting more pollution in the atmosphere and start healing the atmosphere. And the way to do that is not just to live lightly on the earth as families, even though that's good for us and it models healthy habits, but it's truly more important at this critical moment in the climate crisis to shrink industry's footprint. And that means changing the dirty energy system to a clean and renewable energy one. And the good news is it's happening worldwide. There are whole countries that have banned fossil fuel investments, who have divested, who have stopped, who've said they're going fossil-free, like Sweden, and are starting to give more rights to actual rivers and nature itself, that gives equal rights to what humans are doing or corporations are doing. So that's something that we need to know about, that there's a push worldwide and that we can join it. We don't have to invent the wheel. We just need to push it along a little in ways that work for our families.
Fantastic. And you're teaching your family, you're growing the people who are going to be running the earth in, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. So what you're doing with your children right now, getting them to honor the earth and respect it, will come out when they're adults and in their work life.
Yes, and it also is helping them learn how to be citizens in a democracy. You know, some of them, my kids are both voting now, and that's something that, you know, we want to cultivate in our children, their sense of empowerment, their understanding of government, their understanding of what makes policies, how do policies get decided on. And that's something that the group Indivisible in the U.S. has been wonderful at, illuminating how do decisions, poor decisions, get made, how do good decisions get made. And there's a document that they've put out that has really been powerful in the U.S. and helpful to stop some of the backwards push on the Obamacare that we've been struggling to keep intact here. And a lot of the reason that actually is still intact is because of groups like Indivisible that really showed up in their representative's office and made a lot of noise and learned what exactly is it that makes a representative choose to support good policies or poor policies. And that's something that children need to understand, that there are key times that decisions are being made and key ways that we can communicate about those. And a lot of that information is in my book.
Mm-hmm. So next family reunion, how do we exit dead-end debates that are all the political debates that go on?
Yes, I think that's something that I think just about anybody who cares about the planet or feels passionately about what's happening and the world encounters at that family reunion, where sometimes just even an innocent remark can suddenly flare up into a problem between people that love each other,
right,
and that don't see each other often. So one of the things I do is I decide is how useful is it to engage. Is this, you know, am I in the company of a bunch of people that I love but that are truly not in the same political camp as me? So if so, I don't really try to engage very much. I definitely don't try to engage true climate deniers by trying to argue science, because it's a waste of time. So what I do is decide that, you know what, as long as I don't have to change anybody's mind, I can relax, I can even laugh about this stuff and use my energy better elsewhere with people who are actually paying attention and who will help me defeat the climate deniers in Congress or in elected positions. And that's where we need to fight climate denial, is at the ballot box and when it comes to making climate policy. So I tend to maybe make one statement about, you know, if I'm in truly hostile territory, that, well, you know what, I care about my kids, and until somebody tells me, a scientist that I trust tells me that my kids are going to be safe, I'm going to do everything I can to keep them safe. And you would do the same if you were worried about your kids. Mm-hmm. And when I go there, when I go to the place of love,
right,
people, especially because they love my children, agree with me. That's where the common ground is. I'm worried about my children. I will do anything to keep them safe. And you can respect that, and everybody does respect that. And then often we can move to a whole different place, which is energy independence is something even conservatives are behind. Most conservatives actually want clean oil, clean soil, clean water, and clean air. And often they want, particularly if they're of a libertarian bent, they want to produce their own energy, so they get excited about solar power, solar panels for their house. They get excited about being able to plug in their car into an electric, you know, electric system that's powered by solar, which means they're not actually spending any money at the gas, you know, at the gas pump. So I think we need to find common ground. Even if we don't find common ground about the causes of climate, we can find some common ground about the solutions.
Mm-hmm. So those are all real benefits of a fossil-free future for our communities and for the health of our families. Is there any more that you can add to that?
Absolutely. Anything that is good for the planet is also good for people. It's healthier for all of us to not be breathing coal fumes. You know, we've got so many millions of people in this country who are close to coal plants who are breathing toxic air. And especially for our young people, that's terrible to be developing with a steady influx of toxic chemicals in your air. So that's kind of a no-brainer, that it's healthier to be fossil-free.
Mm-hmm.
Green and renewable energy is also better for our economies. It costs so much to have a polluting energy system. And that's why divestment is such a big movement worldwide now, because people are understanding many, you know, even the Rockefeller brothers have divested from fossil fuels. Taxpayers are paying huge subsidies that could be better used for clean and renewable energy. And if you think about it, sun and wind energy are not things that we have to fight wars over. They are free, they are abundant, and they are constant in many places on the planet. So the key is to line up where the sun and the wind are with the technologies that gather those things, and then bring that stuff online to scale. And just the wind potential in North America of Kansas, Texas, and North Dakota could run the entire U.S. I'm sure it's the same where you are.
That's right.
Canada. It's definitely a no-brainer. And the problem is that we have this, you know, these corporations who are making it hard for us to push past the fossil fuel industry, even though it's last century's technology. It's killing the planet. It's destroying our children's futures. But they're not letting go because they still profit from it, and they have, you know, the politicians that are helping them profit from it, and that are blocking all the good renewable energy solutions, and that's mostly in North America.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's so much happening on the global level, there are, you know, countries that are banning fracking. If there are states that are banning fracking, and there, you know, I don't know about up in Canada, but we
still need to. It's not happening yet.
They need to, yes, yeah, and that protects drinking water. So that's another, you know, co-benefit of going fossil-free, is it's so much better for our water.
Mm-hmm.
And fracking actually destroys water. It doesn't just use water and then make it toxic. Fracking operations, then they use millions of gallons of water, clean drinking water, and then they inject it deep into the earth, where then it, you know, messes with the substructure of the planet, and it's actually causing pretty big earthquakes in some places.
Yeah.
So you've got all these things that are happening that are completely unnecessary, and we've got other options that are clean for us. We also, for example, planting trees captures the carbon, but it also gets our communities out in fresh air, and it gets children off of screens. If we're protesting pipelines, it makes it more likely it won't be built, but that also makes it less likely that we're going to have, you know, a pipeline leak in our communities and be breathing methane. And it engages people in civics, which is empowering and community building.
Mary, what are some three-minute actions busy parents can take to save the planet?
One thing people can do is find their local fossil fuel fight. Just Google climate action and your city and see what your local community is fighting. There are pipelines being fought everywhere in North America. There is a fight on now, whether it's oil trains through your downtowns, fracking, or offshore drilling. Just find out what your fight is. Take a stand by making one sign or one public statement. You know, you can do that with your families. Put it on your door or window. Put it on your voicemail. Put it in your signature line. Just that, getting that out there to other people and bringing the conversation forward is helpful, because one of the things that's happening is people aren't talking enough about it. They feel there's confusion. But I think we need to cut through the confusion by finding our local fossil fuel fight and joining it and supporting it in some way. Another thing just for that families can do that's quick and easy is get some great books from the library for your kids. Grab The Lorax or The Boy Who Harnessed the Wind or, you know, Trees of Peace. And those kinds of things, you know, we want our kids reading anyway, but getting books in front of our children that are about helping the planet is an easy way to get families engaged in the conversation.
You are a wealth of information. Mary DeMocker, the author of The Parent's Guide to the Climate Revolution. We have run out of time, but I want to thank you very much for being on the show today.
Such a delight to be here. Thank you. And people can look on my website for more information about how to get the book and keep up. I'll be putting out blog posts and starting workshops soon and making this more available in a different form in the future.
Thanks so much, Mary DeMocker. We are going to go to a quick break. When we come back, we'll be speaking to Dr. Joseph Mosquera.